Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name. Yea, though I walk through the valleys of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of thy enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And help. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Song. May the Lord add a further blessing to those beautiful words.
Oh,
walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death,
I shall fear no evil.
John, this is the second of seven. We're talking about the churches.
Amen.
Churches, the seven churches. This is the second church. Last week we talked about Ephesus. Ephesus had a lot going on, but they had done what? They lost their first love. They didn't love the Lord like they once did. Anybody here like that? If you don't love the Lord as much as you did when you first got saved, then you are backsliding. You're moving backwards. Church of Ephesus was rebuked by the Lord for moving backwards. They were still working, they were still busy, but they was moving backwards. We're going to talk about Smyrna. Smyrna in Revelation chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 8 through 11. We're going to talk about the church at Smyrna. Amen. Let's stand as we read Revelation. If you're looking in a few Bibles, on page 1726. 1726 in the pew Bibles. The book, the Revelation of St. John the Divine, chapter 2, verse 8 through 11. I'm going to read. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things say the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works, and tribulation, and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are the Jews, and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of these things. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Come on.
He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit say unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death.
Come on now. Amen.
He that have an ear. Somebody reach up and do you have an ear?
Amen.
Everybody in here have ears. We're going to talk about crushed for the glory of God.
Yes, sir.
Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we open up your word. We ask that you would just take control of the service from this point on. Not that you have not had it all in your hands from the very beginning. Father God, decrease this feeble-minded preacher.
Come on, preacher.
Speak through him. Speak to some souls today, Father God. Encourage someone today. Let them know, Father God, that you love them.
Yes.
And that you're with them. And it is not your will that any man should have to face a second death.
Come on.
Amen. Father, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Crushed. Anybody ever been crushed? I'm not talking about physical crushing. This just has your soul and your heart, your spirit and your mind crushed. Prayer life gets real good when you're crushed. When you're hurt. When you're broken. We're going to look at this church of God. It's called the Church of Smyrna. The root of the word Smyrna is myrrh. Myrrh. Y'all remember myrrh? That's what Mary had in that alabaster box. It was an expensive fragrance. It was taken from a tree that had to be constantly just beaten and beaten. And then when they pulled the elements out of the tree, they would crush them. I know my wife has the little lighters that she lights and she puts the crushed particles in them, and it has the whole house smelling good, the fragrance of it. But something had to be crushed. Before God can use any of us, he has to break us. He has to crush us. I use the illustration of the dentist. And I've talked to you about the dentist. Before God can fill a cavity or a tooth, he has to take all that out before he fills it. And before God clothes a church with his grace and his mercy, he has to disrobe it. He has to strip it down. And we don't like that process of being stripped. Of being put in a position where we can only look up to God. Some of us been there. To the angel of the church. We talked last week about the angel. That's the pastor.
Yes.
Not often does the pastor call an angel. A lot of names for him. Angel don't come to mind usually. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna. We going north. Now last he was in Ephesus. And Smyrna is 40 miles north of Ephesus. It's just sort of like a postal route. And God is speaking to all seven of these churches. So he's going north. Smyrna now is known as Turkey. It's been overrun by Muslims. It's controlled by the Muslim world. So we look at Smyrna. He says, to the angel of the church in Smyrna. Smyrna is a wonderful city. Founded by Alexander the Great. When these soldiers would go out and conquer, they would be given providences where they could do whatever they wanted to do. Alexander the Great chose Smyrna because it was beautiful. It was a beautiful place. And a church was planted there. And God is talking to the angel of that church. He says, these things say the first and the last. Last week he called himself the Alpha and the Omega. This week he says, I am the what? The first and the last. And everything in between. 3 points to this sermon. 3 points. We're gonna be done. We see first, we're going to see God's approval. We ought to seek God's approval.
Yeah.
We ought to want God's approval.
Thank you.
Then we're going to see God's encouraging. God's encouraging. God encourages us while we are in our struggles.
Uh-huh.
And then we see the third point, God's appeal. God will, he always makes an appeal. It's like a pastor, when the service is over, he makes an altar call. God is going to make an altar call today. He's going to make an altar call today. Let's look at God's approval. In verse number 8, he says, "These things saith the first and the last, which was dead." That's key. That was is in the past tense. He was dead. Why did he die? He died for us. He said, "I was dead and is alive." We serve a living God. We serve a living God. You won't find him mummified. You won't find a grave where he is. He is in heaven, sitting at the right hand of the Father.
Amen.
Amen. But you see God's approval here. He says, "I know thy works." And we those that are familiar on Wednesday night, we talk about that word "know." That word "know" indicates some intimacy. I know you. Many of us say, "Oh, I know God." That's not the point. The point is, does God know you? What does God know about you? He says, "I know thy works." He's talking to a church that God found no fault in this church. Only this church and the church of Philadelphia. God found no fault in this church. And we live in a day of prosperity. Naming and claiming. Health and wealth. Here's a church that's being persecuted. Here's a church that was beaten. People were cast into prison and God found no fault in them. What is this saying to some of these doctrines that's being taught? That if you sick or go to prison or you're crushed or you're hurt, you catch a cold. Some churches say if you catch a cold because you don't have no faith.
That's what they say.
Some churches say if you get sick, it's because you have no faith.
That's what they say.
And you don't have no faith to be healed. God says to this church, "I know thy works." He said, "I'm familiar with you. I know what you're going through. I have knowledge of what you're dealing with." He said, "I know thy works." He said, "I know your efforts. I know your deeds." God knows how hard each one of us is working.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Jesus.
He knows the reason why we're doing what we do in church.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Is it for the church? Is it for the glory of God? Is it for the glory of man?
Come on.
He knows why we sing.
Come on.
Yes, sir.
Come
he
on.
Knows why we serve.
Uh-huh.
And you can fool me.
Yeah.
You can fool the trustees. You can fool the deacons. You can slip by the ushers. But you won't fool the all-knowing God, because he says, "I know." He said, "I know thy works." This is individual. This is personal. He knows each one of us personally. I hope everyone in here has a personal relationship with the Lord. So we live in a world today where we got preacher followers. And a preacher never know your works. I don't want to know. He said, "I know your works." Not only that, he said, "And your tribulations. Your afflictions. Your troubles. Your labors. Your attacks." This church was attacked in 5 different ways. And we can take this personally. Because if you really serve in the Lord, you're going to come under attack.
Amen.
You know, this church was attacked 5 ways. It was attacked first. It was attacked religiously. It was attacked religiously. The word of God says here it was attacked by the church. Imagine that. Imagine coming to church and being attacked by the church. That's what it says. Look at verse number Number 9. It says, I know your works and your tribulations and your poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews. They was attacked by the church. Folks that said they were Christians were attacking these folks. You know what they had to go through? In that day, emperor worship came into place. So the people had to worship the emperor. At this time, it was Domitian. And so what they had to do, whether it was monthly or every 3 months, they had to walk by the idol that was set up, take some incense, and offer them to the emperor. And then they would get a card. They would get a card saying that, you could be a Christian and do it now. But for you to be serviced, for you to have all the benefits of Smyrna, you had to offer to an idol. Well, the people of Smyrna didn't want to do that. They wouldn't do it. And without this card, you had no protection. No one was going to hire you without this card. Okay? And they would come and attack you. Domitian was an evil man. He was an evil man. So they was attacked not only religiously, but they was attacked politically. They was attacked by the political hierarchy of that day. Because he had to carry a green card. You had to walk around with this. Somebody rob you, the police show up, they want to see your card. Well, you don't believe in worshiping the emperor, you didn't have no card. Guess what? That led to a third way they was attacked. They were impoverished. Because no one was going to hire you. No one was going to hire you without the card. Okay? Because you didn't believe in God. You didn't believe in their idols. Idolatry was rampant. It was rampant. So they was attacked not only religiously, they was attacked politically, they was attacked economically. It says they were impoverished. They were in poverty. They were begging. But God says in his appeal, in his approval to him, he said, but thou art rich. Even in the verse number 9 said, I know thy poverty, but thou art rich. They were impoverished, but they were rich. What were they rich in? Rich in God's faith. They were rich in God's mercy. They were rich in God's grace. See, some of us want to be rich in stuff, material possessions, but we don't want to be rich in God's grace. We don't want to do anything for God. Church got to be pushed and prodded to do things for God. We ought to want to do things for God. We ought to want to help the poor. We ought to want to help the lost. We ought to want to use our resources to reach a lost world.
Yes, sir.
So he said, not only were they were attacked religiously, they were attacked politically, they were attacked economically, they were attacked physically. They were attacked physically. He said that verse 10 says, fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer.
Yes.
Because the devil shall cast some of you into prison. Going into prison in those days wasn't like going into prison in these days.
Amen.
Okay, going into prison in those days, you were on your own. The only way you got fed is someone came and brought you some food. And if someone came and brought a Christian some food, there's a good chance that they was going to be incarcerated too. So they had chiros and all that going on in the prison. Folks sending food boxes in and all that. They didn't have that. You went to prison, you went to prison. And he said 10 days. Now there's a whole lot of conjecture about what that 10 days mean. But the 10 days meant in that day, you went to prison for 10 days. And in 10 days, they made a decision in 10 days whether they were going to kill you or let you go. That could mean a whole lot of other things, but you went to prison there for 10 days. And in 10 days, they had to make a case. See, here in America, you can be on death row for 20 years. Misha was going to feed you to them lions in 10 days before you was nothing but bones. Not only that, they were attacked satanically. How many have been attacked satanically? Anybody here been attacked satanically? If you ain't being attacked satanically, maybe you two buddy-buddy with them. Come on now. Listen to what it says. Then not only that, see, Satan is the copycat. Listen to what it says. Listen to what it says in verse 9. He says, I know thy works and thy tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan.
Yeah.
What? The church of Satan. See, Satan want to make every church his church. See, he's sending folks to his church all the time. He sends folks to God's church all the time. And their job is to make his church his church. Make God's church his church. Bring all that mess in. Let it, anything goes. That's the church, the synagogue of Satan.
Anything
goes. Sing, and shut the preacher's mouth. And if the preacher starts preaching out the truth, barking and screaming, gnawing at him, trying to shut him down. That's the job of Satan's people. And like I say, Satan don't care what he uses. He don't care. He will, like I said this morning, he will use donuts. He will use whatever. He used something good. There's folk right now, I mean, the golf courses are full. Okay? Ain't nothing wrong with golf. Golf is a good game. There's folk right now, I mean, what do they got? Parties going on all over the city. I'll tell you about the Kentucky Fried Chicken commercial. It's a Sunday deal. Okay? 10 for 10. 10 for 10. Sundays are wonderful. They had a whole commercial on it. You didn't say nothing about church. That's how Satan does. He's a deceiver of the brethren. He will use something good if he has to.
Amen.
Listen to what he says. Not only that, see, Satan is a copycat. You see Satan? And in verse 10, he was not only attacked by Satan, he was attacked by the devil. Now, I don't know about anybody else, but I'm looking at this and saying, see, like, the devil worked for Satan. But they got Satan in caps, and it says in verse 10, fear none of these things, which thou shalt suffer. Listen, if you are a man of God, a woman of God, you shall suffer. An unsuffering Christian is just an abomination. That's just a lie from the pits of hell. Can't happen. Try it. Try it. Take 2 Timothy 3:12 and say, and it says, all who desire to live godly for Christ shall suffer. Make a point. And I'm not saying you got to go to your job and pass out tracts, but just go to your job and tell someone about Jesus Christ. Tell your boss about Jesus Christ. Don't do it if you really need your job. They don't want to hear about Jesus Christ. They don't want to hear about Jesus Christ. Listen to what it says. He says, behold, verse 10, behold the devil. You got Satan in verse 9, now you got the devil in verse 10. So you see that this church was attacked on all fronts, religiously, politically, economically, physically, and by Satan and the devil. And they held up. They held up. Remember Peter when he was attacked by a little peasant girl. Folded. Folded. How are you holding up? How does this apply to you when you're under attack? How do you hold up? When trials and tribulations come your way, how do you hold up? When you're laying in a hospital bed, how you holding up? How you holding up? How you holding up now? Listen. God encouraged him. God encouraged him. How and why could God encourage him? Why could Jesus encourage him? All this is in red. That means that Jesus wrote all this. And he encouraged them. In verse 10, he says, fear none of these things. That's a sense of encouragement. You have nothing to fear. You have nothing to fear. Listen. Listen to what Timothy said to Paul. Paul said to Timothy, rather, in 2 Timothy 2:5. 4:5. Listen to what he says. But watch thou in all things endure affliction. Do the work of an evangelist and make full proof of thy ministry. You know how you make full proof of your ministry? When you can stand under opposition. When you can stand under the pressure. Because it's coming.
It's coming.
It's coming. And when you've done all you can stand, look what he says in verse 4:8. He said, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. You don't want it now. If you're wearing your crown now, you got a problem. Too soon. He said he shall give me at that day. And listen at Paul. And he's giving an appeal. Paul said, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Are you going to love his appearing? When he comes to get you? Are you going to have that dying grace? Or are you going to fight and stamper and scream and holler? God, give me dying grace. Give me the grace that I can die knowing that I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord. Because the word of God said, absence from the body is present with the Lord. We need dying grace. We need dying grace. Do you have dying grace? Or you're struggling with that? One more scripture. Listen to James 1:12. Listen. Blessed is the man. You want to know if you're blessed? James 1:12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. How are you dealing with temptation? I'm not talking about the temptations. How you young folks dealing with temptation? Young folks going to college, how y'all gonna deal with that temptation? Because you young brothers, good looking brothers up in here, young brothers, 15 women in every man, how you gonna deal with that? How you gonna deal with that? Be careful. I don't think that's gonna get it. Be careful. Planned Parenthood got the answer for that. Listen to what it says. You want to know if you're blessed? You can endure temptation. For when he is tried, or she, you will be tried. Okay? All faith will be tested. And when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Oh, you're going to be tried, young folks. Old folks. Middle-aged folks. Kindergartners. You're going to be tried. But God says, fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. How can God say that? Because he dealt with it. He showed us the way. None of us going to deal with what God dealt with. He was attacked religiously. They put him out of the synagogues. He was attacked politically. Pilate said, I found no fault in this man. He was attacked economically. And said, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man had what? He was attacked economically. He was attacked physically. He was beaten. He was scourged. They spit in his face. They stripped him naked. They nailed him to a cross. How much more physical can we get? And he was attacked satanically. Immediately after he was baptized. Well, we get ready to baptize. And when you're getting baptized, you're getting ready to get tested. Oh, I'm going to talk to Ray. I'm going to talk to Cameron. I'm going to talk to you, Keelan.
Talk to them. Tell them.
You get ready to get it. You still got time to change your mind. I'm not in this for numbers. I don't have them kind of pastor friends where I got to tell them, well, you know, I baptized 35 people last year. No. I'd rather not baptize none. I'd rather go, I ain't baptizing none. He was attacked satanically. Jesus, as soon as he was baptized, he was driven into the wilderness.
Yes, sir.
And he was tested.
To be tested.
By Satan.
Yes, sir.
And how did God deal with Satan? With the word.
Yes.
With the word. He endured the temptation of Satan. Satan offered him everything.
Yes, sir.
Satan offered some of y'all some stuff. Mm-hmm. Oh, some of y'all going to be offered some stuff.
Yes,
I know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
It's coming. He's going to offer you some stuff.
Amen.
I tell you, you young brothers, four babies, four different mamas, good job, four different alimony payments. You won't work. You won't want to work. Because when them young girls, you done had the baby, I find out you got a job. They come to get that money. Some of y'all paying now. He says, fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. You're going to suffer. A lot of folks don't like to preach that. They want to preach love and happiness. That's Pastor Green. Love and happiness. That's what you want to hear. Listen, it ain't about love and happiness. The man of God, the woman of God going to suffer. You're going to suffer. You're not getting invited to all the parties. You can't go everywhere. Nobody wants you around. Unless you're undercover. Unless you're incognito. If I show up at the party, oh, don't. The man or woman of God, you just can't go everywhere. Holy Spirit ain't allow you to go someplace. I can't go there. Ain't none of my people there.
Amen.
I always say, I don't want to be nowhere where they're drinking. But that's the spirit.
Yeah.
And now I know once they start drinking, I'm going to hear some preacher jokes.
Right.
And I don't like hearing preacher jokes.
Yeah.
I don't like Christian jokes.
Yeah.
Reverend Dillon, I don't want to hear. Come on, man. You know, there was a Baptist priest and there was a Catholic priest and there was a nun. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
Christian comedian. What's a Christian comedian? Oh, here's a Christian to tell Christian jokes about Christian folks. Well, you know, we got a deacon in our church. He was so old and, you know, and spit all the time. I don't want to hear that stuff. Christian jokes. He said, fear none of these things that you will suffer. Why? He said, behold, pay attention, man. Woman of God, man of God, we ought not be getting in some of the mess we in. You say you feel with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost ain't gonna allow certain things. You can't be full of the Spirit and full of mess. Living a double life. I'm a Christian. No. You ain't a Christian unless you feel with the Holy Spirit. There ain't no such thing as a spiritless Christian. It is what it is. You need to be anointed. You need to have the Holy Spirit living inside of you.
Come on, man. Come on, keep preaching, good job. Come on now.
We talked about it this morning. Listen, I'm gonna go back. I'm gonna go to Sunday school class. Forgive me, but I gotta go back to Acts 1:8. I know, you know, I know the Pentecostals get this right. They get this right. You go to Assembly of God church, they get this right. Baptist church, we don't like to talk about the Holy Ghost.
No.
We don't like to talk about the Holy Ghost. Look what it says in verse Acts 1:8.
Come on.
But ye shall receive power.
Power.
After that, the Holy Ghost has come unto you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and all unto the other part of the earth.
Yes, come on now.
The man of God that's saved has power.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
There ain't no such thing as a powerless Christian.
Come on now.
Don't tell me you ain't got no power.
Come on now. Come on now.
Oh, Maggie got some power.
Come on now.
Y'all heard a testimony. You can't come out of prison. Stay out without power. All the programs in the world ain't gonna do you no good. You need the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost. You got a problem with alcohol? You need the Holy Ghost. You got a problem cheating on your wife? You need the Holy Ghost. You got a problem with pornography? You need the Holy Ghost. You got a cousin fired up? You need the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost ain't gonna allow you to do that. The Holy Ghost gonna take control over you. You can't tell the Holy Ghost what you want to do. You gonna tell the Holy Ghost no. The Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. You tell them God no. Well, I want you to be a deacon. Well, no. I want you to work with the church and the trustee board. I want you to get more involved in the church. No. No, Holy Ghost. You ain't talking to the Holy Ghost. You part of the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of these things. Fear none of these things which you shall suffer. Behold, pay attention. The devil shall cast some of you into prison. Let me tell you something. And I work at a prison. Just as many folk in the prison as many folks coming in to work. There's folk coming into prison that's in prison. There's officers and wardens and there's some folks that work there that's locked up. Did somebody catch that? There's folks that make money coming into prison that just as locked up as folks in the prison. Same got them locked up. I got captains and lieutenants with 2, 3, 4 DUIs. Folk come into prison having sex with female inmates. Come into prison having sex with male inmates. Something wrong. Folk coming into prison, locked up.
Amen.
But they had keys. Yes. So you don't have to be locked up for Satan to put you in prison.
Amen.
Some of you are in prison by your lust. Some of you are in prison by your evil and your anger and your bitterness and your hatred. Some of you are in prison to an unforgiving heart. Unthankful, ungrateful heart. Some of you young kids in prison. Locked up, unthankful, ungrateful, godless. Satan don't care. He'll lock you up. You ain't got to be behind bars to be locked up. Some of you sitting in here locked up. All that handcuffs on. Ought to put an orange jumpsuit on some of y'all. Listen, that you may be tried. You're going to be tried. You're going to be tried. And you shall have tribulation 10 days. Oh, God, don't put. God always put a limit on how far he's going to let a Christian suffer. There's going to be a limit. God ain't going to let you suffer too long. But just suffering. Just suffer. Oh, I've been in this mess for 10 years. No. You need the Holy Ghost. God ain't going to let you suffer and suffer and suffer.
No, he isn't.
This is God encouraging these folks. He's encouraging them. Listen, you may have tribulation 10 days, but be thou faithful unto death.
What did he say? Be thou what?
Be faithful unto death.
Yes.
Not until you die, but listen.
Death.
Nothing. Shall separate us from the love of God. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Nothing. No height, no depth, no sword or the spear, no bullets, no guns, nothing. Nothing. He said, be faithful unto death. And I, not me, Jesus, I will give thee a crown of life. Oh, do you want a crown? Do you want a crown? Some of us don't want a crown. We don't want a crown.
I'm looking for my crown.
Yeah, Lexus. Crown Royal. And I will give thee a crown of life. That crown of life means I have. Yeah, that's top shelf. That's top shelf stuff. And I will give thee a crown of life. That crown of life indicates you made it. You can see right in the hell of Jack. You say, how I got over. Sometimes I stop and wonder. My soul looks back. And I often wonder how I got over. Oh, I don't know if she got it all right, but I know how I'm going to get over. I'm going to get over in the power of the Holy Ghost. There's only one way to get over. You can't get over on your own strength. You got to get this crown, folks. You got to take some stuff off to get this crown. If you only get a crown, you get a robe of righteousness too. And he ain't going to robe you on top of all your junk. He ain't going to put his robe on all your junk. You're going to come to the Lord, you're going to be stripped. And when he told the rich young ruler, he said, rich young ruler, look, you're going to follow me, you got to leave that junk home. See, the thief on the cross was stripped. They were naked on the cross. Don't let anybody tell you they was covered up. See, if you're gonna do one of them Easter plays right, then you gotta be bold enough to get up in that cross naked. Naked. He wasn't covered. He was naked. So that's just it's just fake. So you want to play Jesus? Y'all go to these Easter plays and they want to play Jesus. Get up there naked. You got too many churches playing Jesus. Yeah. Listen, let's close. Let's close. Not only that, we got God's appeal. I told you God's going to give an altar call. God's going to give an altar call. God's going to appeal to these folks. He's going to appeal to them. He said, listen, he that have an ear. He that have an ear. Everybody here got ears. Okay. Nobody got the MP3 playing. I was at one church, all the kids had MP3 playing. They playing MP3. Well, I had to stop. They didn't call me back to preach no more. I have a hard time with preaching when kids playing MP3 players. And sleeping. We got sleepy children anymore. They up all night watching HBO and Cinemax.
What did you say, preacher?
He that have an ear, that's what I say. Let him hear. This is personal.
This is a personal thing here. Yeah.
He that have an ear. What do you have an ear for? Some of y'all play sports. One of us play sports. You got an ear.
Yeah.
If that quarterback is under the center, he's got all of those. You got to have an ear. He said, huh? Huh, huh. You can only tell folks they don't got an ear because the fish will throw the yellow flag up. They flinch it. And then Peyton Manning and then slap one of them. And next week, they in the paper. Then he got cut. You said, huh, huh. I said three huts. Huh, huh. See? Who you got an ear for? What you got an ear for? You can't hear God and your mind is bogged down with all that junk. You wouldn't even know when God's talking to you. You got so many things going on. What you got an ear for? What gets your attention? He said, he that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit say unto the churches. The Spirit of God talks to you. It speaks to you. It tells you. The Holy Spirit will tell you. I'm here with you. You have nothing to fear. Listen. He that have an ear, let him hear.
Let him hear.
Somebody said they gave you 2 ears and 1 mouth. We ought to be doing a lot of hearing.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Some of them got big mouths. You do a lot of talking. Can't tell you nothing. I'm just preaching the Bible. I don't close it. I don't have a wireless set. I'm not walking around telling you what I believe is saying. Hear what it's saying. He that have an ear,
let him hear.
That's what God gave you ears for. He didn't give you ears to hear all that junk.
Come on now.
He didn't give you ears for that. God didn't give you a voice to, he gave you a voice to praise and worship him. He gave you a voice to praise him.
Come on.
He didn't give you a voice to praise the devil.
Alright.
Cussing and swearing.
Amen.
All that mess going on.
Oh,
he didn't give you a mouth to, I remember Eminem on one of these awards shows just happened to flick it. He said, first of all, I want to give honor to God for giving me this talent. God didn't give you that.
Not all that.
Any gift. And all y'all gifted. Any gift unconverted will be perverted. Okay? If God has gifted you, and you're all gifted, and if you don't use your gift to glorify God, you're going to use it to glorify the devil.
Amen.
That's the word of God. Romans 1. Romans 1. You get out of God's will, you don't know where you're going to go. Sin will always take you further than you ever planned on going. It's going to cost you more than you plan on spending. So get it. He that have an ear. Everybody don't hear that. Everybody don't hear that. Some folks, I said, hurry up, preacher, get over it. I'm downloading something in my thing. I need to get back to it. He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit say unto the churches. He that overcometh. He that overcometh. Are you an overcomer? Are you overcoming some things? See, as we grow in Christianity, we ought to be overcoming some stuff. I mean, we're going to have some struggles. Don't get me wrong. I say that. There's none righteous, no, not one. We all going to struggle. But struggling is part of the battle. You ain't going to be no wrestler when you walk in the room and as soon as the man grabs you, slam you down. You ain't going to wrestle. You walk in the ring and the first punch you throw, you get knocked out. Sonny Liston style. No. Struggle. Overcoming is a word that means I'm struggling with this thing. I'm battling this thing. That lets you know you in the game. You in the game. I mean, this is 42-0 at halftime. Ain't a whole lot the coach can say. Tell the refs, speed it up. Don't call no, don't throw no flag. Let's get it over with. Some of us living like that. We're throwing the top. It's 42-0. Let the clock run. On our way to hell, letting the clock run. Call a timeout.
Right.
Call a timeout. He that have an ear, call a timeout. Let's regroup. Let's regroup. Church, let's regroup.
Come on.
Let him hear what the Spirit say unto the churches. He that overcometh. Tell you, God's looking for some overcomers. God's looking for some overcomers. Listen. It's not God's will that any of us suffer or perish. Because if you're not an overcomer, you're going to hell. Oh, preacher, there you go. You almost made it through without talking about hell. That's what it's saying. Jesus talks about hell more than I do. I mean, if y'all met Jesus, you're going to say, well, you know, I talk about hell a lot. And he did. He did. This is what it said. He that overcometh. So obviously the one that don't overcome. He said, he that overcometh shall not be heard of the second death. What is the second death? Fire. That means you're going to stand before God's white, great white throne judgment. He's going to look at you. Look at his book.
What?
What did you say your last name was again?
Exactly what?
Do you have a middle initial? How do you spell that? Is that O-L-I-V-E or B-O? I don't have that, hypothetically. Folks, you got to know if you're in the book. That's all Jesus is saying. Listen, there's a second death. Are you in the book? Are you in the book? Is there some overcomers in here? Amen. Amen. Listen. 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 Are you in the book? Not Facebook. No, I'm not talking about Facebook. All right, I make it plain. I'm not talking about the yellow pages. I'm talking about the book of life. Are you in the book? Because there's two books. There's a book of folks ain't going to heaven. And then there's a book of folks is going to heaven. You got to make sure you're in the right book. Are you in the right book? God is asking, are you an overcomer? Jesus loves us all. And it's not his will that any of us, it's not his will that any of us should perish. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, that word believe to mean present tense. When you die, you got to die a believer. You can't believe in him 20 years ago. God ain't going to base that on what, he's going to base it on what you're doing right now. You want to know about where you at? You want to know right now. How do you believe right now? Do you believe in God? I'm talking about the big G.
Come on now.
Do you believe in the Lord? Is he your personal Savior? Do you have a personal, intimate relationship with him? And that don't mean you go to church. That don't mean you've been baptized. That means you have a relationship with him and you know he's in you. You know he moves in you. He moves in you. He speaks to you. He walks with you. And he tells you that you are his own. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. Father God, we want to be like the church of Smyrna. We want to know you, Father God. And whatever it takes, Father God, whether you have to crush us, you have to whip us, you have to incarcerate us, you have to, whatever you have to do. We know we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Father God, we need Jesus Christ. We need Jesus Christ to make it through this day. Father God, we pray right now for anyone in here, Father God, that have an ear, but is not listening to what thus say the Lord. Save a lost soul today. Oh, they may not walk up to this church, Father God. They may be on their way home. Speak to their heart. Let them say, I heard that preacher today. I heard that preacher today, and I know I'm not saved. I know if I die today, I'll be going to a fiery eternal. Father God, we ask right now that you would just bless us. Bless this church. Bless those that have heard the word of God. Bless those that have heard the word of God and the word of God has spoke to their souls and they want to be better. Good. Give them the strength, Father God, to be better. To be stronger. Good. To be mightier. Give them wisdom, Father God. Give them strength, Father God, to fight off the temptations.
Yes, sir.
Give them strength, Father God, to not want to be like everyone else. Give them the strength, Father God, to stand up to peer group pressure when everybody's going right. Father God, give them the power to go left. And if everybody's going left, Father God, give them the power to go right.
Yeah.
Father God, deliver some lost soul today from some sin that they may believe have a stronghold on them. Let them know, Father God, that greater is he that is within us than is within the world. Let them know, Father God, that we are more than conquerors. Oh, Father God, someone, Father God, need to put on the whole armor of God. Let them not take it off, Father God. Let them put on a helmet of salvation. Protect the young minds of these young people, Father God. Give them the shield of faith. Shod their shoes in righteousness that they would walk in right ways. Oh, Father God, we pray right now to you. Thanking you for this glorious day. Thanking you for what you're going to do this afternoon. Father God, we pray all these things.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. The doors of the church are open. Thank you, Lord.